groups. I've nominated 6 leaders who've done some preparation tonight to lead discussions, so we're going to break into groups of no smaller than 8 each. And I reckon that would be the biggest challenge of the evening, to be perfectly honest with you, but we'll see how we get on when we get to that stage. And then we're going to discuss probably for about 35, maybe 40 minutes in our groups. I want us to take some time to pray together. We may not get time to feed lots of stuff back this evening, but I have said to our group leaders, I want you to try and summarize the gist of the discussions tonight, some of the things that have come out of it, and email it back to me so I can start drawing together some of the things that we're talking about. And that will influence and shape some of the things that I'm going to say over the next coming Sundays as well. So Psalm 127, let's just take a few minutes to read it together again. By the ruins of Babylon we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. Remember, this is a prayer. These words would be addressed to God by someone who found themselves in this exile situation. By the rivers of Babylon we sat down, we wept when we remembered Zion, and there on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors demanded songs of joy. And they said, sing us one of your Zion songs. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill, and may my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth, if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. O daughters of Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is he who repays you for what you have done to us, he who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. And the question we're asking on Sunday morning, it's sort of the big question, isn't it? What kind of song are we to sing when we find ourselves in circumstances which I believe are increasingly similar to the Old Testament exile? And we looked at the sort of impact that exile had on the people of God. That's what comes out of this psalm. It's what it actually felt like to be in exile. And for some of us, we may have to sort of stop and think about this, because it's quite easy for us to sort of go on as if nothing really is changing in society. So we kind of do the same things as a church, but actually our society changes dramatically, and our points of contact are not what they were a generation ago. So we need to ask this question about what does it mean to sing the Lord's song in a strange land? That's the big practical question of this series. And so we looked at exile, and we're going to pick up on this theme tonight. And we noticed 4 things in particular. We noticed how painful it was, verses 1 and 2. Just really stress, the pain and the shock and the horrendous change in circumstances. We sat down and we wept. It's a desolate picture. Everything for these people had changed. Everything that was familiar to them in the past had changed. I'm going to look at that on Sunday morning and just see just how different it was from where they were before. Everything has changed. Exile is a very deep, very painful experience. And sometimes they can come to us with a real shock, particularly if we haven't taken time recently to stop and to think, what's going on in our society? And this series is designed to make us stop and think and to ask ourselves the questions, what are the parallels between the people of God and the Old Testament in exile? And what are the parallels that we can spot today? It's a deeply painful experience. Second thing we discovered was that it brings ridicule and persecution. Verse 3, there was this sort of demanding, tormentors is the word that's in the psalm, demanding that the people of God sing one of their temple songs. And I was suggesting to you on Sunday that perhaps, you know, they were saying to them, you know, sing one of those songs about the greatness of your God. Sing of the one that God's your refuge, your strength. He's the one who says, I will be exalted in all the earth. You can imagine the kind of ridicule, can't you? And many of us increasingly are facing that sense of ridicule when it comes to expressing our faith, whether it's where you work, whether it's in your family situation, and you say to somebody that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and they look at you sometimes as if you've got 2 heads, you've lost the plot. Ridicule and persecution comes, and as we become increasingly out of step with the society in which we're living today, and that is clear, isn't it? That is definitely something that's taking place. I said on Sunday morning about people saying to us today in society and the sort of media, you're saying, you know, what's wrong with the church? Why can't it get its act together? Why can't it start reflecting the values of the world? So ridicule, persecution. The third thing we discovered about exile, actually, this is the positive. Somebody said to me on the way out on Sunday morning, I'm glad there was a little glimpse of something positive in what you say, because it was a pretty bleak message, wasn't it? And yeah, it is a pretty bleak message, because when we face ourselves with the facts, it is a pretty bleak message, but it's not the end of the story, as we're going to discover in this series. Exile can strengthen our faith. Here in verses 5 and 6, which you'll look at in your groups in just a minute, is a man, in a sense, trying to make a deal with God. He's saying, if I forget Jerusalem and its importance to me in terms of my worship and my relationship with God, he says, then just let my right hand become useless and let me become struck dumb, is what he's saying. Because they've lost everything. And you know what happens when we lose the things that are most important to us. That sometimes jars us into reality, doesn't it? And that's what's happening here for the people of God. Exile can strengthen our faith. And the last thing we looked at was how it shapes their praying. Very early stages here, but the person who's writing this psalm is going back to one of the promises which he made to his people through Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had predicted the fall of Babylon. And he had predicted that these great walls that we talked about on Sunday were going to come tumbling down. I don't have the dimensions off the top of my head this evening, but they were massive walls. They were very high and they were very wide and they were very long. And humanly speaking, if you saw those walls, you can still see the ruins today. You would have thought, how could that possibly happen? And yet, here's the sort of seeds of faith. People hanging on to the promises of God, perhaps just by their fingertips, in this psalm, saying, God, I know that you've said this, and I'm going to trust your promises, regardless of how things may work out in the future. So here are the four sort of painful things that we discovered about exile. It can be a very deeply painful experience, as the things around us that were so familiar perhaps a generation ago have completely changed. The society in which we live today is nothing like the society it was a generation ago. It can be a deeply painful experience, and sometimes we have to stop and actually have to accept that is how it is. We're going to expect ridicule, persecution. That's a daily event for many of you in the workplace. It can strengthen our faith as we begin to realize what's really important, as the person who writes this psalm does. And it can shape the way that we pray. And the challenges which came out of that, we looked at on Sunday morning, were three things in particular that I suggested that we needed to think about, and that will bring us to our discussion groups this evening. We have to accept that things are changing. There's no point in wishing that things were like they used to be. Because we're not going back, we can only go forwards. We need to accept that things are changing. I shared with you this, for me, what was a deeply provocative quotation. Some of you might have found it almost offensive, and it's not meant to be offensive. It's meant to stop us, to stop and make us think. And this is what somebody is writing about the church in Britain today. He says, and this obviously isn't how it is for every single church, and I'm not suggesting it's specific to Crofton. I'm just saying this is the kind of thing that people are saying we need to stop and think about. It feels, he says, like we're trying to carry on the worship of Jerusalem and we've already been deported into Babylon. You know what he's saying, don't you? And he goes on to say this, because this is really important. He says, this is the desire of his heart. He says, I want to worship in ways that connect me with the long and rich history of the community of faith, but in a way that connects me with the world in which I live today. Surely that has to be on all of our hearts. We want to connect with the world in which we live today. And how we do things as a church, how we organize ourselves, how we try and reach out from this church. That's got to be the most important thing, isn't it? That we want to connect with the world in which we live today. So that was the first thing we thought about. We've got to accept that things are changing. The second thing we need to do is we need to prepare to be challenged. We talk about the challenge to our faith and what that's going to be like, and recognizing that the church doesn't have the same place and voice in society that it used to have. We are challenged almost on every corner and at every turn. Being challenged for our faith, part of what it means to live in this society today. And the third thing, and this is kind of in a sense the most exciting part about learning to walk by faith. You know, when you don't know how things are going to work out. And I've said to several people when we started this series, I don't know where this series is going to take us. That doesn't scare me. It actually excites me. Because we need to learn to walk by faith. Depending on who God is and the promises and the character of God, they're the things which we hold on to. That's what it means to learn to walk by faith, even if we don't know what twists and turns this journey may take us on. So what we're going to do is we're going to break into some groups this evening. I've got some questions which have been given to some group leaders tonight. I've also got copies of those questions for everybody. You won't all have got one when you came in this evening. I've got some extra copies and I'll walk around with them in just a minute. But here's the mechanics. Okay, I told you this was the most challenging part of the evening, okay? It's great to see lots of extra people that have joined us since we began. So we're moving probably to six groups this evening. And what I'm going to suggest is that we have two groups in the far corner, we have a group in the middle, and we have a group towards the front, okay? That means you need to organize yourselves into groups of no less than eight. No less than eight? No more than eight, okay? No more than eight. And we have six group leaders who are going to join each of those groups. And if I've not quite got the mechanics of the numbers right, we'll add more. But let's start by getting ourselves into groups of eight. So somebody make the first move down to the back corner. Corners. Okay, all right. Okay. Let's see how we sort out. Thanks, yeah. Okay, you got two more minutes to sort it out. Including you, yes. Yeah, so I need you, yeah. Okay, Giles, you're going to do this group here. To the middle group. Middle one? Or the back one, yeah, the back one. Yep. Yeah, I'd be the questions. Well, yeah, where are they? Let me just check, okay? Yeah, you've got Giles. We've got Giles, we've got. Okay, can I just call you back to order for 1 minute? Has everybody got a copy of the questions? Okay, where do the questions go to? Question sheets. They're probably a little bit short, actually. Okay. Can I just double check that everybody has a group leader? So we've got Catholic group, Diane, Joel, Giles, Sophie, and Ken. Brilliant. Okay. We want to push towards questions 5 and 6. Okay. Often when we get into things like this, we sometimes get sidetracked and stuff, but I want the focus to be on 5 and 6. If I do want you to do the first 4 questions, So really by the time you're sort of heading towards 10 to 9, I'd like to be getting questions 5 and 6, because they are probably the bigger questions tonight, and may take a little longer to talk through. So away we go. I've got a few more question sheets here if anybody wants them. Two there. Any more sheets? Questions? No?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm Thank you.
Okay, folks, just a couple of minutes, two or three more minutes, and we'll take some time to pray in a moment. Do stay in your groups, okay? Yeah, I want you to pray in groups, okay? Before we move. Folks, if we can sort of move towards praying together, I'd like us to pray in the groups that you're in. And I just want to suggest just two or three other things that we do need to pray for tonight as a church family. So perhaps you could take some of these things on board as well. That's all right. No, I'm going to say it again. Okay. I want you to pray in your groups this evening, all right? So you talked about a lot of stuff, I guess. It's the best part of 45 minutes. So if there are particular things that we talked about our church, we talked about our society, you're going to pick up on some of those things as you pray, then please do that. This has been a really difficult week for the church family here as well, with the passing of Elsie and Bill, and I really would like you to pray in your groups for the arrangements for this Monday. I guess most of you have heard by now that Bill's funeral is in Scotland at 1 o'clock on Monday, and a Thanksgiving service for him will be here on the Friday the 25th of January, and Elsie's funeral is on the 28th of January, again obviously here, and the details will be in Crofton Times this weekend if you've missed any of those times of date. But do pray, please, for these two families grieving. A number of us are travelling up to be with Elizabeth and her family over the weekend, and we would value your prayers as we go.
Just heard tonight that Joe Branchflower's mum also passed away, I think today. And I know that Vivian Yip is in Malaysia because her mum recently passed away as well. So perhaps you could remember these folks in your prayers as well. It's been a really challenging start to a new year for a lot of people in our church family. But we have a great God. So let's take some time to bring some of those requests and prayers to Him in our small groups. Let's do that. Just bring our prayers to a conclusion. Great. Well, thank you so much for coming this evening. I hope it's begun to open up some discussions and questions in your group. This is just the very first stage, really. So I do want to encourage you to stick at the journey. We'll probably mix the groups up each week, so that'll give us a different flavour in the groups that we're in. I do appreciate your prayers for Sunday as we come back to this series on Sunday. We're looking at the letter that Jeremiah wrote to the exiles, the first thing that they really hear from God after they've got that desperate situation in the beginning of the psalm we've been looking at tonight. So there is some, it is absolutely packed full of practical teaching, so much so I need some help to know exactly what we're going to zero in on. It's a most remarkable passage. You get a chance to look at it and read it before Sunday, please do that. It's in the program card. Would you encourage others to join us on this journey as well? Just talk about what we've been doing tonight and just get the word out there that this is something that we want to do together. And I just want to thank you for being here. And I said we finished by 9:30. That means I've got to stop right now. But let's just say the grace to each other as we conclude, okay? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And thanks to the group leaders for helping us tonight, and for Roz and for Matt leading us. Thank you.